This is Brewrocracy Now. I'm here with my co-host, John Morrow, and Shelley Levins, the new marketing and communications manager of Port Townsend, of City of Port Townsend. Hello, John.
Hello. Can you hear me? Because I can't hear
you. Oh, okay. Can I turn this up some more? Can I hear you? Can we?
Hello.
Oh, shoot. You know? Okay. Here, I'm just talking to myself. Okay, how's that?
Oh, gosh. That's way too loud. Hi, everybody. Sorry to be so in your face. So, hey, Jim.
Hi, John.
How are you?
Oh, all right. A little panicked.
I'm so sorry. I kind of fly right in and always surprise you how few minutes there are between
12:30 and 12:55.
I was more thinking it's hard to go in at 12:31 and still be on time for 12:30. So my apologies.
Right. Apology accepted, John. I'm glad you're here. So
great. I think that's all the time we have, Jim.
Okay. Oh, no. Well, thanks for bringing Shelley with you. And
hey, so can I warmly introduce to the community, as I did at City Council on Monday, Shelley Levins, who's our new communications and marketing manager. People know Shelley in the community because she's served this community for a long time. And I was thinking today is her very first day of work.
Wow.
And what can you say on the radio that's not a little bit salty in language? Well, how incredible that she's willing to, and this is by her consent. She said, right. Sure, let's do this. Let's rock up to the radio and have a conversation. Welcome, Shelley.
Thank you. Shelley. Is this on?
Yes.
All right.
right out of the frying pan and into the fire, Shelley. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
So what does the marketing and communications manager of Port Townsend do?
Ooh, you should see the job description.
Really?
All kinds of things. Yeah. We're thinking big picture, right? So this is about helping the community understand all the parts and pieces of how the city works and how we all work together to make our city a livable, wonderful place, and how we communicate to visitors who are coming here and how we might be ambassadors for this place as for our visitors.
That would be the marketing part.
Yeah. Yes. A little bit of both.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. Does it lift any of the responsibility off John's shoulder? Because I know John is a very good communicator.
Oh, that's not what I've heard.
Some of the best.
Thank you. Yes, it does. I think partly lifts responsibility because I've been plugging gaps without professional training on how to communicate. But I think what this does is amplify the city's ability to not just communicate, but also to engage and get good outcomes. And I think somebody with Shelley's talent and history, which I'd love to, you know, for those who don't know Shelley, have people walk away from this broadcast with a little bit more understanding of who Shelley is and why she wanted the job. But it really augments our existing push. I mean, our team, every single city staff person is an ambassador to the community for what the city does, even if they don't know it. they're doing work, they're having conversations, they're showing leadership or whatever it might be that they're doing on a daily basis. Shelley's answer, which was not pre-scripted but also brilliant, it is the big picture. This role is about elevating that ability of the city to engage and to be telling a story that it's true, that's transparent, and that's part of how we all work together. So I'm thrilled. It'll take away some responsibility, but it'll get me fired up and actually make me want to do more under Shelley's leadership to communicate and to market Port Townsend.
And you say you had no training in marketing and communications, John?
I don't have a technical degree or I don't have a experience as a communicator. No. I mean, I've done some of this stuff, but it's all learning by doing.
Right.
I haven't been a curator. I haven't been a museumologist or a museologist. I haven't, you know, like Shelley's been a storyteller for 20 something years.
Yeah. So let's get into that. Shelley, how did you get here? What brought you to this point?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we say here, we're talking about this place too, right?
Sure,
in addition to vocation. Uh-huh. And I grew up in Washington State. Uh-huh. I grew up in Vancouver, right on the Columbia River. So not that Vancouver, but the other one.
Yeah.
The Couve, we like to call it down there.
Right across from Portland.
Right across from Portland. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I still have family there. And did go away for some time to college and just always thought about coming back. And so came back for grad school. degree is in museology, which is the theory and practice of museums and museum work, mm-hmm. and the ways that museums contribute to our understanding of the world around us.
Telling stories.
Exactly. It really is. It's about human existence and how storytelling has been part of our human existence since time immemorial, for forever. And seeing how all of our stories connect to each other, from the past to the present and into the future, this long continuum of storytelling. And so that's really what has sparked my interest from the start of my career in this work. And sometimes it's called public interpretation. And so mm-hmm. I did that as a park ranger at Death Valley National Park, wow. and for state parks. And then I got into something called oral history, which is really about listening to people's stories and recording them so that they can be preserved forever for uh-huh. future people to listen to those stories and learn from them, have access to them. So I've done quite a bit of oral history over the years, mostly, for public institutions like the Washington Park Arboretum, or organizations would hire me to, someone's worked there for 50 years and they're retiring and they have all this amazing knowledge about that organization. Can you record their story? Anything along those lines. And cool. So, yeah, that's been really, it's taught me a lot about how listening to someone tell their story, you're participating in their story at that point, right? You're not separate from their story. You right. are a participant in it. And what that can do for community building.
Does that, mm-hmm. So you said you recorded things. Do they wind up in places like the Library of Congress or Smithsonian?
Absolutely. I did a project in Gig Harbor with the National Park Service. And that was, kind of had three parts. It was documenting these structures called net sheds, which were used by fishermen mm-hmm. and are still being used by fishermen in Gig Harbor. So documenting those net sheds in with large format black and white photography, with building plans, and then with oral histories and wow. talking to the families, four generations of families that have used these structures through time. And all of that went to the Library of Congress. So, yeah, or our local historical society.
Yes. Right?
We have 600 oral histories at our historical society. That have been collected by community members through time.
Wow.
And those are accessible to anyone. So
at the Jefferson County Museum of History?
Yes, my former employer.
Ah, see, you brought it full circle.
Yeah,
and exactly. Were you just working for them yesterday and then you just...
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I was the director. One of the reasons that we moved to Port Townsend was because I was offered the position as the director of the Historical Society, and I served in that role for 5 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your new job.
Thanks, Jim.
With the city. That's
a big
fantastic.
Change of workplace, though.
Yeah, I bet. I bet the culture is a little different.
We love the Historical Society. I feel like it's such a great opportunity to work in the same building and see the value of organizations working together. So, yes, Shelly has to walk up a set of stairs now, I think, to the other side of the building. But, we're all kind of part of the same story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now on the second story.
500 feet away from my old office.
I didn't even...
You should have claimed right that one. Should have claimed it.
Yeah, we're adding stories.
Yes,
but the cupola will never be added again. I don't think. I don't think we're not going to go that far.
Oh, really?
Or what? Did I get that word wrong?
The cupola.
Yeah,
no, cupola. I think that's okay. Right. Yeah.
Blew off in a big storm, that kind of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen things in the press about that, and it's not going to reappear.
Anything's possible, but we've got higher needs across the community right now.
Right. We have to do a separate fundraising effort for the cupola.
That's right.
Yes. Well, let's talk about some of the recent stories with the city.
Mm.
I mean, because the last week was the golf open house number two.
Yeah.
And then you had another, the same thing as the first one that you did for the pool.
Yep.
But you had it down in Quilcene?
We went to Chimicum.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that last week. I think the story here is we did three open houses on mixed subjects last week. And then this week, we did one last night on the pool, Healthier Together, virtually. And we're doing the same thing, same content, but different format, obviously, because you'll be in person tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. at Fort Worden Commons.
Oh.
If you would like to come and join us, it was a pretty healthy crowd the first go around, and we're looking forward to sharing more information about the sites, about the cost, and about how we might get this big community lift over the line, about, you know, rebuilding this wonderful pool that's behind me right now. Right. And it's a bit of miracle of miracles that it's still operational.
I know. And I wish I could be there, but I'm rehearsing a play. Mm. So I'm going to put in a little plug here for myself. Saltfire Theater is producing a play called All in the Timing. And it's actually being performed at Vintage, which is a wine bar downtown, 7:30 from the 11th to the 21st, Thursday through Sunday. And it's 5 one-act plays within a play. And I'm in a thing called The Variations on the Death of Trotsky.
Perfect for you.
Yes. Well, I'm not Trotsky. Oh, okay. So you'll just have to use your imagination as to what character I might be playing. But it's a secret. But you'll notice I shaved the beard, John.
I did. I don't like remarking on people's appearances, although you are quite a handsome fellow.
Oh, stop.
And I did notice. And is this for the part you're playing?
Yes, it is.
Is that a hint? Because I like this.
It is a hint.
I like the hint to
folks.
It
is a hint. This character does not have a beard.
Okay. Well, then it narrows it right down, doesn't it?
It might.
Can't be somebody from Port Townsend.
Not a man from Port Townsend.
True. Sorry, that was a poor statement on my part. But it's okay. We're a very well bearded community, actually. For
I just want to point out to our listeners that Shelley does not have a beard.
Sure.
And neither does John.
No,
we're all.
I'm getting shaven. Some whiskers right now. Part of aging.
Well, I'm excited I'm excited to see you in a different format, Jim.
Yeah,
thank you for dropping that in there.
I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a very funny play, a lot of fun for people I'd say if your kids are under 10, you might want to leave them at home. There's some salty language, but you know, otherwise it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Some really good scenes. Anyway, speaking of aging, Shelley, when I shaved the beard off, I was terrified. It's like, oh, my neck. I used to cover that up. I think I'm going to grow the beard back in about 3 weeks. So
those are the stories.
Off topic.
No, it's
yes,
okay.
Those
so
are the stories.
We have a couple of engagement opportunities for our community. Mm-hmm. That's pretty exciting. And I think I'll also overshare, which I tend to do here, because this is this is kind of an informal chat, and we're pretty open about stuff. That's part of the job and part of my commitment to the KPTZ listening audience. One of the first things, aside from kind of running through some basics with Shelley today, if I could say, was dropping into a 90-minute meeting about the Aquatic Center.
Wow.
That's partly why we are late. And we had the real privilege of sitting at the same table with the county, the port, the Y, Jefferson Aquatic Coalition, the school district, really thinking through both tonight's open house, but then what next? And it is on the spirit of that collaboration that this project will be successful.
Well, I'm looking forward to the new pool. Mm. I mean, how long do you think this will take, John?
Well, there was a young woman of 8 years old last night who may or may not be related to me who asked that question at the open house. And I thought it was brilliant. I said, do you have any questions? Because I was, on the call. And my daughter, who was sitting in my lap, said, yeah, when do we get to have the pool? She phrased it a little bit more cleverly than I just did. But it's a good question. I think there's so many caveats and what ifs.
Yeah.
And maybe I could position this by saying, wow, what a race. Because the current pool probably should have died a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it's only under the graces of the YMCA and our agreement with them and the city's facilities team that have kept it alive.
Chewing gum and bailing wire.
It's really, and actually the patience of the community working through some of those, we have to get new boiler or we have to repair something. We had to put money into the roof again. I mean, it's really a bucket of bolts and it's way past its useful life. Mm-hmm. So we're racing to make sure that there is not a discontinuity in a service of the pool because we don't want it to go offline. But also we don't want to go too fast. We trip and, fall in a puddle or something. So I think if you best case scenarioed everything You know, there's conceivably a possibility that construction starts in 2025 and it opens in 27.
Wow.
That is fast track. Although it sounds slow because actually 2027 is not tomorrow. That's in a number of years, but a lot of things have to go right. And, we need to clear a lot of hurdles and we need a lot of community support to actually make it happen.
That's cool. I'm very excited about it. Shelley. We're leaving out of the conversation.
That's okay. It's my first day.
It's your first day.
This is oral history.
Can I make any official statements on behalf of the city? Okay. Not yet.
Would you like to make an official statement on behalf of the city?
About the pool or about the city?
How's your job going, Shelley?
I was very excited to see that in the first open house, I saw that there is a provision for trying to make sure that the pool that exists now is still operational while the new one is being constructed. Mm-hmm. So the new one might be constructed, say, over where the dog park is right now, and it might be. Yeah. It's one of the sites being considered. Mm-hmm. And don't worry, folks, the dog park will move across the street if that happens into the corner of the golf course that is mostly tall grass right now.
Quote, a bunch of dogs, I think.
A bunch of dogs will just move over there.
No, your information, I'm just trying to cite the source here.
Oh, that's right. Well, the dogs are like, you can't build a pool. This is our dog park. You know? Yeah, yeah.
So it's a bit of a squeeze, and I think you're right. We're trying to figure out how to optimize. You know, this site, we'll just be honest, there's no decision on the site yet, but it's pretty pending. Because we need to hone down the four current locations into one, mm-hmm. so we can go deeper into what that looks like. And by far, both the residents of Port Townsend, who we've been engaging for a number of weeks now, I think 1,200 survey results, almost a majority indicate that being the preferred site. This, literally where we're sitting.
Yeah.
And then when we did our work in the county, a majority of county residents felt the same. So that's helpful in getting some, you know, not unanimous, but pretty good, strong indication of where we want to site a future pool.
Right. So Mountain View Commons, where we're sitting right now, is coming out on top.
Yep.
Yeah. And the radio station is moving to Fort Worden this year.
No, really?
No, really. It's true. I was actually working on some stuff over there last week myself. So that was cool. Yeah. Things are actually coming along. And I can't say when we'll be in there because... Mm-hmm. I can't say.
Do you want to make an official statement on behalf of KPTZ? Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Everything that comes out of my mouth.
Give me the news editor.
No. News producer's right here.
Sorry.
And he, right now, I can't say anything officially.
Yeah. Okay.
On behalf of KPTZ Radio News or KPTZ Radio generally.
Mm. But you can talk about your play.
I can. Well, that's because I'm just Jim Burke, you know, talking about my play. That's another thing.
But Jim, I think, you know, there's something here that we might want to pick up on. I mean, all these moving parts, it's just so much easier to do something simple in its own silo, whether you're talking about a facility, a project, you know, anything really.
Right.
And what we're trying to do, and I really appreciate the community's sort of creative stretch here, is to kind of juggle a lot at the same time. We don't want to juggle too much, but we also want to, you know, putting more on the table opens up possibility. And I think particularly with a project like this that has interdependencies, you know, the golf course, the dog park, pickleball, you know, aging facilities, relationships with county and the port and the school district. And I mean, it's just, it's all a beautiful swirl. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, there's not a clear, easy answer. And so whether it be pool, whether it be parking, whether it be police, it doesn't really matter. All those city-related issues are about dependencies and connections and, you know, not simple yes-no questions. And I think I'd love through Shelley's service to the city and this first day of her job, you know, I know she understands this, but just the more we can tell a refined and clear story, but about things that are really complicated and not losing people, not getting into the jargon and the acronyms and assuming people don't understand, but trying to make it accessible to people, then there's a participation in that complexity instead of a shutting off. And I think the city too often shuts people off because we don't communicate clearly. I'm a great example of that.
So engage PT. So I might have your first statement, Shelley, to say about John. Well, John Morrow is spinning multiple plates having to do with all the different factors that go into where the Mountain View pool or the golf course winds up in the future. You're going to communicate what he's doing. And you're going to boil it all down and say, this is what John's working on right now. Does that make sense?
That's what we're all working on together.
Exactly.
You're hired. You're hired. I mean, that's the thing. Because in that meeting, you know, today, just to reference, like Shelley's an active participant a couple hours on the job leaders and elected leaders of organizations of the region. And, you know, she can communicate, but she's a strategic thinker. And I'd like to believe everybody who works for the city and who we work with is also the same. And I'd like to believe the community is as well. So... Yeah, it's all of us,
Jim. I wish I could be a strategic thinker, but, you know, at 12:31, when you guys weren't quite here, I was...
I think we should check the clocks.
Can you smell the flop sweat right now? I should open a window. But I'm really glad you both are here. I think, we're about a minute away from wrapping it up, and I'm going to play a song by Concha Buca y Choco Valdez. Which something that Buzzy Donahue is substituting for Taylor this afternoon on Blues Journey. Mm. So we're going to play a song called Un Mundo Raro, which I think means rare earth.
Well, rare earth or rare world or...
A rare world.
Yeah. I have a suspicion we're going to want Shelley Levins to come back onto this program.
Yes.
Whether or not she... just takes the co-host spot because she's savvier than I don't know. It's yet to be determined. But we will have now another spokesperson for the city, and I'm really honored and grateful that folks who have listened to this broadcast now know a little bit about Shelley. We didn't really go too deep into the CV and your background. Maybe we'll do that next time, but
I think we got a little bit there.
Yeah, thank you both for having me on. This has been fun.
Well, I think it would be great if you were the co-host for the rest of May. And then when Taylor gets back, he'll just be really confused.
I'm good at asking questions.
She's excellent at asking questions.
That's in my tool set.
Mm-hmm. So we will be back.
Yes.
And
next week.
And so will you. So we'll see you next week.
I'll be doing this if you'll put up with me for the next 5 weeks.
I might be later next time, though, but that's okay. Oh,
I'll bring more CDs with me.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right. This has been Bureaucracy Now. Thank you, Shelley Levins. Thank you, John Morrow. And I'm Jim Burke, and this is KPTZ in Port Townsend.